Thank you, Brother Bobby. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. And we will be. And there will be a roll that will be called. Today I want to study with you. We're glad you're here. And those of you that are visiting, we're delighted to have you. We want to study together from the book of John, chapter 6. If you have your Bible, listen again to the Word of God. The Bible says, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." Notice the expression, "I will." Then verse 48, rather 38. "For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me." I want you to underline that in your Bible. I want you to think about it. It's a statement made by Jesus. And the statement is, "I came down from heaven." Jesus came down from where? He came down from heaven. Why did he come down from heaven? To do the will of God. And then he adds, "And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me," verse 39, "I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again in the last day." God's going to be behind that which I do. Jesus, why did you come? I came to do the will of my Father which was in heaven. In verse 40, "And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life." Wow. Jesus said, "I came down from heaven to do the will of my Father. I came down to save those that will believe on me." And he says that they may have everlasting life, and I will raise them up at the last day. We see here then the will of God for Christ. Back in verse 37, God said, "I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will." And I want to really get that over to you. Christ is saying, "I took the form of a body. God prepared me for a very specific purpose. And I came down from heaven." I was in heaven. I was with God. No one can dispute that from the Word of God, and we don't want to. And yet, one who was with God took upon himself a body. He came down from heaven, and he said, "I came down not to do my will, but the will of God which sent me." And then he says, "This is the Father's will." Why did you come, Lord? Jesus said, "I came. I came to do the will of my Father which is in heaven." And then he expounds and he tells us what the will of the Father is. "For this is, and this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day." I've come to do the will of God, and God is going to make sure that those that come to me will not be cast away. And this is the will of him. Repeatedly, Jesus is talking about the Father's will that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up for the last day. Why did Jesus come? He came down to do the will of him that sent me. What? He came down to do the Father's will. In the book of Hebrews chapter 10, in verse 5 beginning, "Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me." Jesus said, "God sent me. I came down. I came down from heaven. And I came down from heaven. And God has prepared a body for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, Lo, I come, and the volume of this book is written of me, to do the will of my God. Above, when he said sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hadest pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do the will of God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Over and over and over we find the repetition. Over and over we find why Jesus came. He came down. Came down from heaven. Came down for a reason. Came down to do the will of God. And this is the will of God that sent me. Now, there was a special time when Jesus, his great work would be made known. It's quite interesting to me for us to observe in John 7, in verse 8. Jesus said to those disciples, he said, go ye up unto the feast. I go not up yet unto this feast, for my time is not yet full come. It's not yet time for me to do what God sent me to do. In John chapter 7 and verse 30, then they sought to take him, but there was no man laid hands on him because his hour was not yet come. There was a specific time that God's will would come into force, and that was the exact time when God said that his son, when he prayed to him, his son was praying, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Now, I ask you this morning in this sermon, why are you here? Does God have a purpose for everybody under the sound of my voice? You hear sometimes people saying, well, I'll tell you what, I don't really know what God wants me to do. Well, open up the Bible and read it. Find out. I've heard people say, you know what, preacher? I'm not a saint. Well, you ought to be. Why? Because a saint is one who's sanctified, set apart. And the will of God is for his people to be set apart unto him. Sometimes people say, why am I here? The answer is to do God's will. And then, no, God had a will for me, they'd say. Yes, he does, for every single one. What is God's will for us at O'Neill? And I want to give you three reasons, and the lesson will be yours. Number one, it is God's will that everybody here will go to heaven. God doesn't want a single individual lost. Look at your neighbor that you're sitting next to. Look at the people that you associate with. God is not willing that any should perish. His will for us is for us to die and come and live with him in heaven above. He wants you. He wants me. And the Bible says in 1 Timothy 2 and verse 4, who will? What is his will? His will is. The Bible says, who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth? What's God's will? All men, everywhere, he wants them to be saved. In 2 Peter 3 and verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, we're not willing. What's his will? His will is that every man be saved, go to heaven, live in heaven, and be with God forever and ever and ever. That's God's will. Well, then, sometimes people say, you know what? That means then nobody's going to go to hell. I didn't say that. When I go to the Scriptures in Matthew 7, 13 and 14, enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. God's will is that everybody be saved. However, not everybody's going to be saved. Why? Somebody's not listening. Listen to what the book says. The book said, I want them all to be saved, God said. And yet the book says, There will be many that will be lost that are burned in hell forever. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. In Luke chapter 16, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and he fared sumptuously every day. Wouldn't that be something? Be rich, enjoying life, having everything that you want. Wait a minute. And the Bible says there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. Who wants to be in that condition? And now look what the Bible says. It came to pass that the beggar died, and he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man, who had fared sumptuously every day, who was rich, could have anything that he wanted, he died too. But where is he? The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell. God didn't want him there. God doesn't want anybody in hell. We have already seen that from the Word of God. He was now in hell. He lifted up his eyes, being in torments. He seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. Why was he there? Wasn't what God wanted for him. That's what he chose. He neglected to hear God. What is God's will for us? He wants everybody to be saved. Preachers, elders, deacons, every father, every mother. But my friends, just like the rich man, where was he? He was in hell. Why? Not because God wanted to be there. Because he didn't listen to God. Look what God has done for every man. I mean for everyone. In Ephesians 1 and verse 7, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. What do we have? We have forgiveness of sins. We have redemption. We find it all in the blood of Jesus Christ. We who? We who are in Christ. In Romans 5, 8 and 9, but God commended His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. God says we can be saved. How? Through the blood of Jesus Christ. If you reject that, if you turn away from that, God wants you to be saved, but He tells you how to be saved. He gives you His will. Why won't men listen to Him? Why won't women listen to Him? Why won't young people that are that reach the age of accountability listen to Him? God speaking. Just as Jesus came down from heaven to do the will of God, then God's will is for us to be saved so we may save others that are lost. When you read the Bible, you cannot misunderstand what God's will is. Let me just back in Mark 16, verses 15 and 16 and note. The Bible tells us, Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. What does Christ want? He wants us to preach. Preach what? The gospel. To whom? To every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. It doesn't take an education in Hebrew and Greek to understand what God says. The Bible's made it very clear. Don't be conformed to this world. Do everything you can for others. Live right. Enjoy that relationship, because God's made it clear so that we might be able to accomplish that what God has intended for each of us. Because He wants us to come to heaven. He really wants you to be saved. And those of you who've never been baptized, what would you say to Him today if you meet Him? When you know what He said, knows He loves you, He wants you, it's His desire, He's not willing that the devil get a single one, but you make that decision. You're the one that's responsible for your soul. Secondly, it's God's will that we devote our life to Him. Why do you come to worship? Why do people preach? Why do we have men that serve as elders? Why is it that there are men that are willing to be deacons? Why do we have people that are willing to teach? Is it something of a benefit to them? No. Surely it will benefit them. However, they want to be busy doing God's will. Why are we here? We're here to do the will of God. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, Jesus said, "If any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." In Matthew 6:33, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." And then in Revelation 2 and verse 10, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee the crown of life." When Paul was writing to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord." Why are you always doing the will of God? Why do you visit the sick? Why do you send cards? Why do you make telephone calls? Why do you come to church services? Why? Why? Because it's God's will that we do that. In Matthew 25, the scene of where all people shall be gathered before the judgment seat of Christ, and the Bible says He will divide. He'll be the one makes the division. He'll be the one to set the ones that are saved on His right hand. He'll be the one who'll set those that are lost on His left hand. Those on His right hand will be those who realize they were here to do God's will, and they did it with all their heart. Those on His left will be those who neglected, who rejected, who failed to do anything about their souls. Yes, my friends, we're here, and we're here to devote our life to serving Him. In 1 Corinthians 6, the Bible tells us about some who were guilty of sin. And the Bible says, "Know ye not," should be verses 9 through 11, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? God's will is that you and I be not unrighteous. God's will is that you and I know what sin is and stay away from it." Look at what He says. "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?" That, God said it. You can't come to heaven. I want you there. I want you to be saved. But here's how you get there. "Be not deceived, neither fornication," that's sin, "nor idolaters," that's sin, "nor adulterers," that's sin, "nor effeminate," that's sin, "nor abusing themselves with mankind," homosexuality, that's sin, "nor thieves," that's sin, "nor covetous," that's sin, "nor drunkards," that's sin, "nor revilers," that's sin, "nor extortioners," sin, "shall inherit the kingdom of God." I thought God wanted us all to be saved and come to heaven with... Yes, He does. But He didn't want us to engage in all these things that put Him to a shame. When we do all these things and engage in all this sin, it's unrighteous. And now notice He says, here's what they can do, those who've been guilty of all these different sins. "And such were some of you. But God says, you are washed, you're sanctified, you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and this by the Spirit of our God." That'll take care of it, won't it? Surely it will. No wonder then God really wants us to come to heaven. But, and He doesn't want a single one lost, but Jesus said, "I came down to do the will of my Father which is in heaven." Will you do what God's will is for you? God's will is stay away from immorality. God's will is give me your heart, give me your soul, give me your mind. Let me be first with you. And yes, I will save you. And you can come and live with me in heaven forevermore. Thirdly, it is God's will that you be filled with the Spirit. The Spirit of God. Does the Holy Spirit dwell in you? The Bible very firmly tells us that God dwells in us, that Jesus dwells in us, and that the Holy Spirit dwells in us. How? There's a lot of discussion on how. We know He does. And I think it's by the Word of the Lord when you have faith in it. But I want you to notice where the Bible says, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." What is the Spirit of God? It's the Holy Spirit of God. Where is He? He dwells in those that are His people. And we may not know how, but we know what we are to do, that God makes the promise that He will give it to us. In 2 John 9 and 10, "Whosoever transgresses and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God." What does He say? If you don't dwell in the teaching of Christ, God doesn't dwell in you. Now look at it carefully. "He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son." Yes, God dwells in us. In John 15, verse 4, "Abide in me," Jesus said, "and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me." John 15, verse 7. "If ye abide in me and my words abide in you." There it is. "Let the words of Christ dwell in you. And you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you." 1 John 2, verse 14. "I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known Him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the Word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one." And then in Acts chapter 5, verse 32, the Bible says, "And we are His witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Spirit, whom God hath given to them that obey Him." You have the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. God's saying, "Here's my will. My will for you is that you be filled with the Spirit of God. Know His will. Show it to the family. Be busy at the work that God wants you to be engaged in, and you'll know the goodness of God as God, Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ dwells in us. And God's will for each of us is that we can be saved. His will is that we devote our lives to Him. And His will is be filled with the Spirit. Dwell in God's words. Seek after His will that you may be one who can truly say, "I'm seeking to do God's will." Just as God had a will for Jesus, so God has a will for everyone here in this building. God wants you to live in heaven. He's provided that you could be so that be there by giving of His Son, promises forgiveness, giving us His Word, and we can read it and we can't misunderstand it. Truly, don't turn your back on God. Don't reject His plea. Don't hesitate to obey Him. God has a will for you. It's up to you to accept it and serve Him faithfully. And the great question is, will you, will I do what God wants me to do? There's a little book of poems, and in the first one, I thought was real interesting, "Your life will be blessed if you look for the best." Listen to it. "It's easy to grow downhearted when nothing goes your way. It's easy to be discouraged when you have a troublesome day, but trouble is only a challenge to spur you on to achieve the best that God has to offer if you have the faith to believe." Trust in Him, believe Him, obey Him, and yes, do as Jesus said, "I came to do the will of my Father which is in heaven." You may be here this morning, never been baptized. It's God's will that you be baptized. Won't you arise and be baptized? Wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. You may be here this morning, a Christian, but you haven't been devoting yourself to serving the Lord. And you want to do what God wants you to do. You want to be ready. And you want to serve Him faithfully. Why not come to Him, the Son of God, now as we extend His invitation? Won't you come and obey Him while together we stand?